ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावपुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापान्तविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। After speaking about devatas and that a person who gives, who offers yajnas to devatas, his desires, all his desires will be fulfilled by those devatas. The opposite of that is being explained by Krishna in the very next shloka.
यज्ञशिष्टाशिनस्सन्तो
मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः
मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः
भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापा
भुञ्जते ते त्वगं पापा
ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात्। Yeah, the tune, like, we can sing, since it is one of the most common chandas, therefore we can sing it like this tune or the normal Gita tune, both are fine. So here Krishna is in a way kind of concluding this topic. Though he explains, like, he goes a little bit next few shlokas also he continues it, but in a way he says yajna shishtashinah santo muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. So santaha means like people, santaha means like people or like good people. So good people, like people who have good mind, what they would do is they will first offer to devatas. They will offer to devatas, and then yajna shishta ashinaha means eaters. Ashanam means like eating. So Ashinaha means people who eat. Yajna shishtam means whatever is left behind after the yajna. That means after offering to devatas, whatever is left behind, people who eat those, they are santas. They have good mind because they first offer to others before they eat themselves. And such people, muchyante, they get liberated. Sarva kilbishaihi, from all kilbisham. Kilbisham means all papam, all the bad qualities of the mind. So they get rid of all papam, they get rid of all bad qualities of the mind. Whereas ye means those who pachanti. So pachanti, who kind of cook or something, or like, I think pachanti here means like who steal, and bunjate, they eat it. They don't offer to devatas, they don't eat the leftovers, but they eat everything, steal and eat everything. Atmakaranat, here atma means for themselves, that means they are selfish. So, but those who are selfish people, who don't offer to devatas, they offer to themselves, such people, te tu agam papa, they attain all sorts of papas, they accumulate all sorts of papas because they don't offer to devatas. So instead of offering to devatas, they want it for themselves, therefore they themselves take those papas. Yeah, so there are like two sets of people. One are people who know this, who know that we have to offer to devatas. So they offer to devatas and then they eat whatever is left over. Whereas second are people who themselves cook, and eat. That means they don't offer anything to devatas. And what is the advantage of eating leftover? It's the same thing that Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Yatnya shishta amrita bujho yanti brahma sanatanam nayam lokostya yatnyasya kutonya kuru sattama. So, yatnya shishta amrita bujho yanti brahma sanatanam. Person who eats the amritam left behind after these yatnyas, he attains Brahman. Whereas a person who doesn't do any yatnya, he'll not be fruitful in this loka as well as in the other lokas as well. So yajna, it is like yajna shishta shinaha. We shouldn't go for direct or literal interpretation, translation as we have seen till now. So the meaning or intended meaning is that a person shouldn't go behind, or like a person shouldn't like say, oh, let me eat leftover. It's not that way. But it is that we shouldn't do karma. We should do yajnas. Whenever we do yajnas, any sort of yajna, so the very first yajna, in the fourth chapter, Krishna enumerates a lot of yajnas. So 13 or 14 or 18 yajnas or something like that as per Chinmayananda. As well, if we count, we'll see 18 or 19 yajnas. So all those yajnas are yajnas, real yajnas. So if we do those yajnas, then we are offering to devatas, then we will get back amritam. So that is the purpose. The very first one that Krishna says is Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havihi Brahma Agnav Brahma Nahutam Brahma Iva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Remembering that everything is Brahman, Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havihi Brahma Agnav Brahma Arpanam, whatever we are doing, offering, that is Brahman. Brahma Havihi, the Havis that we are using, that is Brahman. Brahma Agnav, Brahma Agnav, the Agni is also Brahman. Brahma Agnav, Brahmana Hutam, Hutam, like it is done by Brahman. Brahma Iva Tena Gantavyam, the goal to be achieved is also Brahman. And how is it done? Brahma Karma Samadhina, by remembering that everything is Brahman. Whatever we have is Brahman alone. That means Sarvam Brahmamayam, with the thought that everything is Brahman. There is only one thing, there is neither duality nor non-duality, because there is only one entity. Everything is Brahman alone. Since everything is Brahman alone, that is the yajna, that is the karma. Remembering this and doing all actions is yajna. Karma becomes yajna. It is also the same as Ishvara Arpitam Naichya Kritam. When we know that everything is Ishvara, when we offer everything to Ishvara, then it becomes Ishvara Arpitam. And Naichya Kritam. How it is Naichya Kritam? Because there is nothing else other than Brahman to even seek. So there is nothing other than Ishvara to seek. If there is nothing other than Ishvara to seek, then how can we have anything else? Oh, then we shouldn't have moksha as well. Well and good, we shouldn't have moksha as well. Moksha is to be sought only by people who differentiate things, who have differences in the world, who see duality in the world. They should seek moksha. For a person who sees everything as Brahman, who is trying to see everything as Brahman, he doesn't need moksha also. Why? Because that itself is moksha. That action itself is moksha, because there is no duality. If duality is not there, there is no need of moksha. Moksha itself means getting out of duality and rejoicing in bliss. Whatever aspect we, or perspective, or whichever way we define moksha, moksha is getting liberated. There is no liberation here, because everything is one entity. There is no duality. There is no dukkham to get liberated. And the other perspective, moksha, is bliss. If a person does this, he will be blissful, because he knows that there is only Brahman. Everything is Brahman. So he doesn't get affected at all. He doesn't get affected even to an extent, he doesn't get affected. So that is what is the goal. That is what is the essence of this particular shloka. Yajna, people who do yajnas, people who don't do yajna. So yajna means remembering that everything is Brahman, or seeing Ishvara everywhere, and without seeking anything, offering everything to Ishvara. So if Ishvara is all pervasive, then we cannot ask anything to Ishvara. We'll just ask, Oh Amma, Oh Devi, let me remember you always. That will be the only thought that will be there in our mind. And if we are able to do that, if we are able to remember Devi always, if we are able to remember Devi and want always to remember Devi, that itself is moksha. So seeking moksha is not just like getting liberated or something very big like learning shlokas, and then seeking moksha means seeking bliss. Seeking bliss means remembering the truth always. That is real moksha. Real moksha is remembrance of the truth, which is possible through yajna. Therefore, a person has, instead of karma, he should do yajna. So yajnas not only purify the mind, but they indirectly take us to the goal of moksha, goal of Brahman, because we have knowledge associated. So yajna in itself purifies the mind, and the knowledge that we associate with the yajna, that liberates us, that gives us moksha. That is the import of this particular shloka. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.